John 1, verses 40 to 42 read, "One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas,' which means Peter." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church. I am your host, Pastor Bryce. And today I have with me a man full of wisdom, goodness, and the Holy Spirit. It is Andrew Walden. Thanks for being here, Andrew.
You always set me up for such a high fall.
You're welcome.
But thank you. Thank you very much.
I esteem you greatly. Well, you know, the subject that we're talking about today, it's about evangelism. This whole quarter has been about evangelism. Next month, we begin our new quarter on missions, which is evangelism done in different cultural contexts. But as we're talking about evangelism, I did want to spend some time talking about different groups that we evangelize. And today, we're talking about how we evangelize our own family members, which is exciting and scary. But anytime anything even slightly connected to family shows up, I go, "Andrew Walden, get him in here."
It's not because of the success. It's because of the quantity, I think.
Yeah, that's some combination. So we are talking about sharing the gospel with our families. And we're going to acknowledge there are some real difficulties with that, but also some advantages. So I want to start with the advantages of sharing the gospel with family. And let me just begin by saying, you know, one of the necessary prerequisites, if you will, to sharing the gospel with anybody is you have a message, someone has to hear it. And so you need an audience, at least somewhat willing audience. They can't just be running away. So you need a willing audience. And so when we talk about contact evangelism, sharing with strangers, you know, you have to think about, how are we going to start this conversation? Will they be willing to talk? Or relationship evangelism, you've got to build that relationship with somebody. One of the advantages we have, though, when we share the gospel with family is the relationship's already there, and the audience is already there, you know. And you might contest the fact that your children listen to you, but on a good day especially, yes, they do. They are right there, you have an audience, and just naturally we'll be sharing the gospel with our children. So that is one of the advantages. It's interesting because you see this played out somewhat, this family dynamic, in the New Testament. It's interesting that Jesus only chose 12 close disciples to become apostles. But of those men, two of them, two sets of them, so four of them, were brothers. You have Simon, Peter, and Andrew, who are brothers, and you have James and John. I read that passage about Andrew and Peter. It was actually Andrew who invited Peter to come see Jesus, and then Peter became a very preeminent disciple, but it was his brother Andrew who led the way there. And like I said, James and John also brothers. So they already had that relationship, already had that audience, and were able to invite their brother to come see Jesus. So this is where I have a question for you, Andrew. It is easy to forget what a privilege and opportunity it is to get to share the gospel with our own children. What are some of the advantages we have in sharing the gospel with our children, as opposed to maybe sharing the gospel with someone who's not in our family?
Well, the first advantage that I think of pretty instantly is the fact that you have a captive audience. Like, there's, if you're living in the same house, there's only so many rooms you can go hide in to have these conversations. But another aspect of that captive audience idea behind your children is every interaction you have, everything that you've set up in your home is a way to share the gospel with your children. Is it odd for your children to see mom and dad pray before a meal? If it's not, then you have continually showed them the gospel in one way or another in just mealtime. Have you set up your home in a way that shows that God is a priority of your home, even in just how your week goes? Are they aware that if, you know, we have YDM or Epic on a Wednesday night, are they aware that they're not going to have any other events scheduled on Wednesday night because they have the chance to go hear the gospel, YDM and Epic? Do they know that Sunday morning is something special? It's not just something that we've decided is just going to ruin our Sunday morning so that we can get everybody stressed to get out the door to get to the church so that we can check a box so we can look good to the community? Or is it something that's like a celebration? Like, we get to go and worship the Lord with other believers. I also think of things like your devotional time. I've got four kind of small kids. One of them's getting big now, but we have two kids that wake up entirely too early in the morning, like every single morning, no matter what we do, no matter how we try to change the schedule. These kids know that mom and dad are awake instantly and instantly wake up with us. But what they also know is that they can do quiet things around the house while we're awake. But in the morning, there is a certain period of time where they're not allowed to bother mom and dad because we're going to be reading our Bible, because we know that we need to start our day reading the Bible so that we can be the best parents to them that we can be. But even in having that setup, it is a setup that is designed to show them the importance of the gospel. And hopefully their little minds are seeing that and grasping that and understanding, okay, I know mom and dad view me as important, but for this hour, something else is slightly more important than me, enough that I can't even bother them for a little bit. Things like that are just great privileges that we can do if we're setting up our home in a way that points everything towards the gospel.
It's fantastically said. Yeah, it is interesting because we never want to overstate this, and I guess you have to be careful how you say it, but there is a kind of stability that comes with children who come to Christ in believing homes. And we're not in any way suggesting that if you did not grow up in a Christian home that you're somehow lesser than or something. But that was just pointed out to me maybe in a book or something the other day, and I hadn't really thought deeply about it. But in our local churches, how much health and stability is provided by those who are growing up in Christian homes and then come to Christ. They already are miles ahead on the disciplines, they've seen their parents get in the Word, they've seen what a Christian lifestyle looks like, whereas someone who doesn't have that background has to learn all that for the first time. There's something beautiful and good about that as well, but there's just some kind of stability.
It kind of goes along the lines of like discipleship, because what you're doing as a parent, especially to a young kid, and if a young kid's growing up in a Christian home, if it's done in a right way, they're getting discipled and trained in discipleship for years. Whereas, like you're saying, if you're coming from a non-believing home, praise God, you got called. But it's a little bit rougher, because then even when you get discipled, you don't understand discipleship. You don't understand what it actually looks like. Whereas, like, if I bring Jeremy with me to go give somebody a meal, or if I bring Jeremy with me just to come and serve at the church, he understands, like, oh, I'm just going with dad to do what dad does. That's discipleship. Whereas if I call up somebody that came to Christ, you know, a week ago and said, hey, we have the opportunity to go serve this meal, be like, okay. And then, or if, hey, I'm about to go to the church, let's go do this. It might be a little more of a hesitation because there's just not that deep understanding of, oh, this is what we do as a believer.
Yeah, no, well said. So that's, I mean, obviously those are immense advantages as we're sharing the gospel with our own children. We should not lose heart. And to that end as well, we do want to talk about some of the challenges that are there. Obviously, the passage that comes to my mind immediately is when Jesus, during his ministry, revisited his hometown of Nazareth. And we're talking about Jesus, who's perfect, and even in his childhood was perfect. And you would think, surely that was noticed, but maybe not, I don't know. But when he returns as an adult to Nazareth, Mark 6 tells us, he went away from there, came to his hometown, it's Nazareth, his disciples followed him, and on the Sabbath he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his relatives and in his own household. And he could do no mighty work there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he marveled because of their unbelief. You would think that Jesus going back home, people would go, well, put the dots together. No wonder, of course, he was perfect. It makes sense, he's the Messiah. But actually, they took offense because of the familiarity. So I want to talk on the other side of things now and ask you, Andrew, what are some of the common challenges we face when we're trying to share the gospel with our own family members?
Well, since we are not perfect like Christ and we are not glorified, one of the, I think, biggest common challenges is the fact that your children, if we're still speaking of children here, or even your spouse, always sees you, and you're never perfect. So they're going to see, oh, dad just taught me about the gospel, but now he's getting angry at, you know, the dishwasher that's not working. Like he's, there's just that common familiarity in the negative way as well. I can think of multiple examples where one of my kids will get frustrated with something and say some kind of phrase, not like cussing or anything like that, but say a phrase. I'll be like, well, where is that anger come from? Like, oh, that's something that I know that I say because it's something that my dad said. So it's like that generational frustration coming out that is a big challenge to the gospel. That, but in the, on the flip side of that, I also think that that is a big opportunity for us to show our children that they really look up to you. They really love you. My son right now, and I hope it doesn't change anytime soon, really wants to be his dad. I hope that as we get older together and as I see him grow, that he still wants to do that for the right reasons, that he wants to be like me because he sees me following after Christ. But a good way for us to take these challenges also is recognizing that we're not perfect, that there are blind spots, that there are sins within our life that we can use as teaching methods for ourselves, but also for our children. Like, hey, daddy's not perfect. Daddy yelled at you just a minute ago because he got frustrated. You weren't doing the right thing, but daddy should not have done that. That was wrong of me. So showing that grace, knowing that that grace is the same grace that Christ shows to us as we sin against him, is a great opportunity as well to share the gospel, even in our weakness, even in our struggles and challenges with our family.
It does seem like that humility to acknowledge the faults is kind of what makes the difference between those who have parents who are just hypocrites. Mm-hmm. Many people grow up in a household with religious hypocrites for parents, and that's tough. That's kind of a different thing. And what makes that different is they sin and there's no acknowledgement of it. You pretend like it never happened. But for the rest of us who sin, also, I mean, we are hypocrites in some sense, we sin, but acknowledging it, that in a sense serves a great purpose for your kids because they're going to grow up and unfortunately sin sometimes. And you've provided for them a pattern of how to handle that. We repent of it. We take it to the Lord. How do we overcome some of these challenges, like the familiarity piece? You know, our kids do see our failures and problems, and spouses too, and even extended family as you're sharing the gospel. They saw you grow up. They know your problems. They know your issues. How do we overcome these challenges in sharing the gospel with family?
I think that like we just discussed, that willingness to ask forgiveness of, especially if they're young kids, because that's going to make a big impact, of knowing that mom or dad are humble enough in their sins to acknowledge that they've done something against their children. That's a big one. But I also think just in the way that, like we discussed earlier, in the way that we have set up our home to acknowledge the importance of the Word of God. So like they're going to see us in our anger and in our struggles and in our sin, honestly. But if we let them know that we are being sanctified through our life and the way that we see that and the way that we grow in that anger that we're trying to work our way out of, or, you know, pray through, or the sins that we're in. If we show our children, hey, the only way that daddy can figure out how to conquer this is through the help of the Holy Spirit. And the way that you get guided through that is through our love for Jesus and the Word. And so just continually pointing them to outside of you. Like, it's not in your strength that you're going to get past these things. It's not in your strength that your kids are going to see that you've overcome these challenges or that you're going to deal with these challenges. It's through the strength of the Holy Spirit and through your knowledge and your love for the Word of God.
Well, well said. Well, Andrew, my esteem for you remains. I still consider you a godly man. Haven't disproven it yet. So thank you very much for being on here and sharing with us.
Thank you very much.
You who are listening to this, maybe you are thinking about sharing the gospel with your children, and it's intimidating to you. Maybe you've been quiet because you see your own sins and they see your own sins, and you thought that'd be hypocritical to talk with them. Or maybe you have extended family, spouse, or in-laws you've really wanted to share the gospel with, but these challenges have been really big. Whatever the case might have been in the past, may God help us all now to think this way.